Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Butte County, like every California county, is trying to be aggressive in tracking COVID-19 cases and keeping everyone in the region safe. But Butte County stands alone in its experience with the wildfire of 2018, the Camp Fire. People are still putting their lives and property and businesses back together again. Butte County now has 3 confirmed cases of COVID-19. The second was reported as a travel-related case. The third was just confirmed late yesterday. It prompted the closure of Caper Acres to alleviate the spread of the virus among children, although I am reading in a press statement that Bidwell Park as a whole is still open. Andre Bilek of North State Public Radio talked with Butte County's public health director, Dr. Andy Miller, yesterday afternoon. And Andre asked whether transmission details about the cases would be shared with everyone by the county.
No, we won't be releasing that information. And it's not really, even though people are curious and they think it's relevant to them, and I understand the curiosity, it doesn't change the guidance that we give. It doesn't change the recommendations. It's not being done elsewhere in other counties or in the state in an attempt to protect people. And also, it has the potential to give people a false sense of security or a false sense of harm. So everyone in our county is at risk at this point, and everyone needs to be following that same guidance, whether they live in one city or another.
That information has been released before, such as during a local outbreak of measles last year. Why is this situation different?
Yeah, because measles is a completely different disease, which has you can become infected when you move into a space even hours after, or an hour to two after. And we had single intrusion into our county. This is much more like influenza, where there isn't a single place. There are multiple entry points. It's not reasonable or effective, or again, will not change the advice that we give for that information to go out. So often those people actually don't remember those things very well, but even if they did, that would not help in this situation.
Do local officials expect more cases of coronavirus in the county?
Absolutely.
With these confirmed cases, what are the next steps for Butte County Public Health toward addressing the virus?
Well, so there's two different kind of philosophic approaches to trying to help with an outbreak like this. One of them is containment, and that is when you know of a case, you try to isolate those people. You try to understand who their contacts are, and we try to give advice and quarantine those contacts. So that's what we do and are doing and will continue to do as long as we are able. The other is mitigation, which is more population-based intervention, which is the social distancing that you've seen, and you know, which goes with school closures and many other interventions that we're all living with. So that is not an individual case and case contact based approach. That's the population based approach, and the most important of our messages, and the most important intervention that we have, given that our access to testing is still limited.
Can you explain the current situation as it relates to testing?
The situation that we have has been pretty much the same for a while now. There are two pathways towards testing. One of them is if there's a person that meets certain criteria and certain risk factors, the physician or the primary care provider or the hospital doctor or whoever can contact us, and we can try to facilitate that test going to a public health lab. Public health labs have very limited capacity, and so they have to meet the certain criteria, and of course we have to hope we can get the results back within the time that we need them. The other pathway for people that may or may not meet those criteria are for the ordering physicians to send them to commercial labs. And so those are the two pathways to testing. That second, the commercial lab pathway, also because of the demand in our country state, have capacity limitations. And even though they can run thousands, the demand is much higher than capacity. And so some of them have stopped accepting new specimens over the last few weeks and are waiting to try to get through their backlog.
Can you share any insight into a reported new test that can return results possibly in about 45 minutes and how that test could be used locally?
I don't have knowledge of that test. I do have knowledge of the FDA approving different other technologies, other lab equipment for testing. Some of that lab equipment is in our county, and I know that the one healthcare institution and our public health lab, which has that other equipment, is working to try to get the reagents, the chemicals necessary to run that. I don't know what the turnaround time, like whether it takes 45 minutes or how long it takes to run using that equipment.
Now that there have been confirmed cases of COVID-19 and more are expected, how should the public prepare and respond to those facts?
I think that they should respond by heeding the advice that's been given from the CDC, from our president, from our governor, and from our local officials, only one of which is myself, asking them to limit their contact with other people, to only engage in essential functions and the travel that supports those essential functions. There is nothing more important than that.
So you're hearing the same message from leaders and officials everywhere. That was Butte County Public Health Director Dr. Andy Miller yesterday talking with Andre Bayek of North State Public Radio. Butte County and Paradise in particular experienced so much trauma and change from the time of the campfire, which was November of 2018. The principal of the high school then, Lauren Lighthall, had to oversee that change and the displacement of students for an extended period of time. We thought he might have some good perspective on the extended time off our kids are experiencing now. He and his family moved to Turlock. He's now the principal at Houston High School, and he's joining us by phone. Mr. Lighthall, so glad to talk to you on Insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what parallels do you see between your experience then and now?
Well, it's tough on teens to go through any of these types of things where they can't go to school. So in Paradise, they did go to school after a time, but it was distance learning. And then they went to school at a different location, but they were able to go. In this situation, you know, we can't go to school right now, so it's similar in that way. And I think that the difficult part for kids is that they become in very close proximity with their families and don't get to see their friends. And teenagers are very friend-centric. A third grader needs their mother, but an 11th grader really needs to be around their friends. And so it can be very difficult to be around mom and dad and little siblings day after day, week after week, and still just kind of keep it together.
This is the first full week that Houston High School is closed, correct?
Yes.
So what guidance have you had for teachers and for parents? I really want to pick your brain on this because you saw firsthand what had to be done and what surprises came up along the way.
Mostly we're trying to get people connected. In Paradise, we were able to have activities on Tuesday night, and people were able to come together and do those things so that they could see people and feel the reassurance of, you know, seeing things that they're used to being around, keeping their routines. This is a little different because we are supposed to be isolated. So we are encouraging the using the technology to be with their friends, even if it's just over video or text or phone, and to connect with the school just on all the platforms, whether it's Google Classroom or Canvas or whatever platforms that people are using. But it's hard because we do want to maintain the integrity of the quarantine, but we want people to be connected as much as possible. And that's really important for teens. So we're doing our best to do distance learning and give kids things to do and be creative.
You have quite a family yourself. Will you tell me the age range of your own children and how you're navigating this at home? Although you're calling me from the school, so I know you're still spending part of your time at the office.
Yeah, I'm an essential employee, so we still have to prepare the master schedule for next year and do some basic things that we just can't get around. But I have 7 children, 6 boys and a girl, and the oldest is 22, and the youngest is 5. Of course, the 22-year-old is married, and I have a daughter who is on a mission for the LDS Church in Mozambique. And actually, all the missionaries are being sent home, so she's coming home today. And I had a kid in college, and he's doing distance learning. And the other 4 are just at home. So after today, we'll have 6 of the 7 at home. And, you know, we're trying to make it an opportunity, you know, where we just go on a walk every day, and we do something academic every day, and we read every day, and we just try to have fun together. It's a little easier when kids are younger. But we've just tried to, like I say, make it an opportunity to just be closer and do things together as a family that'll kind of strengthen us and keep us together.
Will your daughter coming home from Mozambique be under any kind of instruction to quarantine, or will she have to do anything different because she's coming from outside the U.S.?
She will be under a 14-day quarantine.
Okay.
But Mozambique, she left there Friday, and they did not have any cases. It was one of the last countries without a case that they know of. She'll be with us for 14 days, but there was very little risk of her contracting it where she was. But, of course, now she's been through airports and in an airplane and in contact with others. So she'll just quarantine with us at home and hopefully keep her and us safe.
What's your thought about the governor's indication that few, if any, schools across the state of California will open before summer break, that essentially this school year has gone by the wayside? What's the perspective in Turlock?
Well, it's super difficult for kids, like I said, because they're not going to be around, the most important people to them, which is their friends, for most kids. And it's just awful for seniors. We had our baseball team was 8-0, 9-0, whatever it was. And kids in their senior year of track have just worked this whole time to run the mile and win and do those things. And our ag kids are getting ready for the fair. And our VAPA kids were taking a trip to Disneyland. And, some kids work their entire lives to reach a point, to complete an activity, to do an event that they're now just not able to do. And we're worried about prom. We're worried about graduation. And these are gateway events that are super important to folks. And, you know, we can probably still have them even if we have them, you know, 3 months after they're supposed to happen. But it won't be the same. People will disperse, and it'll be very difficult for kids to come together and not have everybody. So it's just super difficult on kids and for them, because a lot of them aren't affected. They're struggling with the why that they have to do it and lose out on this stuff. And I know to a lot of people, it just doesn't seem like that stuff is super important, but it is important, and it's super important to our kids. We want to make sure we do everything we can to provide those things. We found out today that the place that it does our yearbook is shut down. So even though it's submitted and ready to go, we don't know if we'll have that. And, those are things that people have their entire lives and memories that they create. And it just came out so sudden that, I didn't really have time to prepare, and they're just home. And so it has been very difficult on kids, which is really much like paradise. Even though you have all that stuff, you do it from a location that's maybe an hour and a half away. You're not going to the school every day. And it's just, it makes it very difficult for kids to adjust to that situation because they're not used to it. They're not used to the trauma. They're not used to having to kind of give there. So it's been tough on them.
Yeah, that suddenness has happened for you and your family in both places. Are you of the opinion, or has it been decided, that Turlock High School will be closed through the rest of the school year?
Well, Houston is going to close until April 20th. We go on spring break. April 9th was supposed to be our last day. April 10th is a Friday. We had that day off in the next week. So we're going to miss 3 weeks, and then we'll miss the spring break week, of course, and then come back April 20th. As of right now, I mean, you know, you mentioned the governor saying that schools might be closed for the rest of the year. We're just hoping for the best. But right now, it's April 20th. We'll kind of see what happens, and if they can bend the curve and do all the things that scientists talk about and get kids back in school and people back to work. But right now, it's April 20th for us.
So for now, high school graduation at Houston is still on the calendar, correct?
Yeah, it's still a go. And we have our graduation, I believe, May 29th. We get out a little bit earlier than schools across the state. And we're hoping to hold it. But if we can't hold it then we'll hold it at a later date. But we will definitely have a graduation.
Is the school office going to stay open for parents in the area or even students who want to call and have specific questions? Is somebody answering the phones there mornings?
Well, we do have tech support on site from Tuesdays from 9 to 11 because, you know, if kids have to learn and have to do those things, then we want to be available for them. And, of course, using the social distancing and best practices. But essentially, the school is closed. We want people to stay home, and we want this to go away and have people be isolated. But we do have some skeleton services available because they're just necessary to be able to help kids and get them moving.
Okay, a final thought. I guess this is a life question, Principal Lighthall, about navigating unexpected challenges and traumas in life and being able to still see out in front of you, you know, to keep moving forward. What have you done and said that's worked for you as a person?
For me, I just try to grab onto the things that are important to me, whether it's faith or family or friends and job. I just try to stay grounded in the things that matter. And school matters, and our government matters. We can make a difference for people and do those things. But work is important to me. I really believe in what I do as a at a public school, and I think it's important for other people. And it does give me some purpose, and I enjoy being at work and doing those things. So I try to stay grounded in that stuff, while, of course, you know, staying close to family and working on and nurturing those relationships. So I just tell people to just try to be as normal as you can and try to do the things that make you happy and contribute and give you purpose.
All right. Well, I wish you a very normal, happy, purposeful day.
Yes.
And I so much appreciate your perspective. I'm glad we could make this conversation work. And you and
hey,
your family.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care, stay safe, and best wishes to all of you.
All right, thank you.
That is Lauren Lighthall, the former principal of Paradise High School in Butte County, now the principal of Houston High School in Turlock. We're going to take a break and come back with an uplift to end the hour. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.